morning, refer to Joshua chapter 2.
Joshua chapter 2. I'll just read the chapter and make comments here and there as we feel appropriate. Joshua chapter 2, I just want to preach this chapter, add a few things from the Word of God to it. So just stay here for the most part. Maybe at the end we'll go a couple of the places. Let me do say it's a privilege for my wife and family and I to be here. We're privileged that you would be here. We, of course, feel at home. This is a place where we are comfortable as we can be and not in our own home. And so we are grateful for all that this church has done for us and through us, and for those of you that have showed us kindness already this week. We look forward to the week at least as much as you. I asked the Lord, as we sang that song, I said, Lord, you love them far more than I can. If you love them that much, would you do something for them?
Yes, sir. Amen.
So if the Lord will put me out of the way, let the word of God reign supreme in your heart. That is our prayer, our desire for each of us. In verse 1, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They have come to a place where they're about to go into that land that was promised to Abraham. They're about to cross over Jordan. But Joshua has been strengthened in the rightful use of encouragement. He was given courage for the battle that was ahead. And he sent out two men secretly to spy out the land, and not by coincidence, and certainly not just by happenstance, but we see that these men went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. I will say this, and my ramblings, but I thought, it's not unusual for men to be seen coming and going to a harlot's house. It wouldn't seem peculiar to anybody. Yet God had a purpose. We see as these men lodged there, it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the women took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out, with the men went I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, she begins to explain to them why she's done what she's done. We see that she didn't do it just out of the necessity of being a harlot. She didn't do it out of a desire for notoriety. She did it for one purpose. And she tells us that purpose when she said that, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She has seen something, heard something that has stirred in her heart, where she now acknowledges that the Lord of heaven has given the land unto the children of Israel. I don't believe it's pragmatic that she said that. I don't believe it's her wanting to come down the right side. She's not a politician. She's a harlot. She simply sees that God has given the land to the children of Israel. She sees the work of God, for she said this, and that your terror is fallen upon us. That is the terror of the Lord. They know these are God's children. They know that they're the children of God. Why? Because they have seen the works of God. They've seen mighty works of God. You think that the working as they came out of Egypt was not spread abroad, and the works of the miracles of the wilderness were not spread abroad? There were strangers in the camp. There were strangers with the camp. There were strangers with the children of Israel. Word spread as God brought them across the Red Sea. God brought them through the wilderness. God brought them to the banks of Jordan. And all of Canaan knew that the children of Israel were coming. She moved with fear. She says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." We heard these things. When you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. By all rights, intellectually thinking, numerically thinking, the wisdom of man, the children of Israel should have been destroyed in the wilderness. They should have been destroyed by Pharaoh before they ever left Egypt. By all logic, they could see these kings should have destroyed the children of Israel. But what they're speaking of and what they're talking about in the city is there's something more that's going on with these people. There's something behind what's going on here. Yes, sir. And Rahab the harlot says, "I have seen that. We have trembled. We fear. We've seen the works of the Lord." And she goes on and says, "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts melted." Our hearts did melt, excuse me. "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." The righteous are bold as a lion. They've seen the boldness of the children of Israel. They've seen the marching of the children of Israel. They've seen the destruction of mighty kings at the hands of the children of Israel. She said, "When we saw these things, when we heard these things," listen, when the stories even came into the city, listen, our hearts didn't melt. There was no resistance. There was no strength. Even the most courageous men lost courage. And now you have your eyes on our city. Now you sent two men to spy out our city. We know that we're next. Your God that helped you escape Pharaoh, that helped you escape these two wicked kings, your God is going to come here and he's going to help you to destroy us. And she said in verse 11, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above, and in earth beneath." All their hearts melted. She said, "We." She spake as a whole of her city. Not just her household, but of her city. She not only spake of that, she spake on behalf of them, saying, "Our hearts not only melted, but we have no more courage. There's nothing left in us that wants to fight." She's speaking on behalf of others. But you'll see one person in this story. You'll see one person in the Word of God that made this tremendous statement. "The Lord your God, he is God." And it was a harlot, and her name was Rahab. Many lost courage. Many lost hope. Many had their heart melt before the children of Israel, seeing the mighty works of God. But it was one that acknowledged that it was the work of God. It was one that acknowledged this is the hand of God. It was one that said only God could do this work. The Lord, he is God. God of heaven, he's also the God of the earth. "Now therefore I pray you swear unto me," verse 12, "by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Notice she's a harlot. She doesn't speak of a husband. She doesn't speak of children. Yet We'll see later, God gives her a husband. We'll see later, God gives her children. But what she's concerned about is her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, the family. That God would protect their house. And she made those men, she's basically saying, listen, I've protected you. I've spared your life. Would you not in return spare our lives? I protected you when you needed protection. Would you not protect me? And the man answered her in verse 14, says, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. So he tells her, you're going to put this scarlet thread in the window of your house. When you see us marching, when you see Israel coming across Jordan, you'll hang this thread from the window of thy house, the same thread which you've lowered us down with, and there will be safety in your home. There will be protection in your home. Invite your father in. Invite your brethren in. Invite all those thy fathers. Invite them into your house, harlot. Can I say this? I'm not going to make a lot of comments through this, but I thought of this earlier today. She seemed pretty adept at sneaking men in and out of her house through the window. Yet God used it for good. She knew how to get those men out of the house secretly. She knew how to protect them. She knew how to keep others from knowing that they were there. But then she said, I want protection for my home, protection for my family. The Lord, He is God. And those men said, we'll swear an oath to you. Those that are in this household will have safety. They'll have protection. But if they step foot outside of this house, their blood will be required of them. We are going to destroy the city. We are going to destroy all life in the city. But there is safety in your home because of that scarlet thread that you put out the window. However, if you utter this to anyone, if you speak of these things, these are secret things, he said, this oath will no longer be. And she said this in verse 21, according unto your works, or words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way and found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Joshua chapter 6. The children of Israel are going to march around around Jericho those days. And on that final and seventh day, they'll march 7 times around. The priests are going to blow the trumpets. All of Israel is going to shout with a shout. And the walls of Jericho are going to fall down. The children of Israel are going to enter into the city. And Joshua commands them that they can have anything they need. and anything they want. And in verse 16, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given thee the city. So they have been given Jericho, all of its treasures, all of its finery, all the things of the city are theirs for the taking. God has delivered it into their hands. But in verse 17, he said, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. But then there's a little statement that's made. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. God has cursed the entire city of Jericho. But Rahab the harlot shall live. She's not a woman of esteem. She's not a woman that's considered in social circles acceptable. She's not a woman that's even desirable to others except for men seeking out harlots. Most likely she's shunned of people, despised of people. Thought it interesting the king knew where her house was and sent men for her. That's her reputation. That's what she's known for. She is this harlot of the city of Jericho. But she shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Can I say this? God with safety and with protection watched out for Rahab the harlot. As the city falls around her and the children of Israel enter in and slay and kill, there's one home that stands. And it's the home of a harlot. It's a home that God put his protective hand upon. That scar to thread out the windows was to show them this is the place. This is a place of safety. This is a place of refuge. Rahab shall live. In verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. The young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. She dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. She's no longer a stranger in Israel. She's no longer an outcast from the city of Jericho. She is as one natural born in Israel. She dwells with them unto this day. She is now an Israelite. They bring her in and they saved her life because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. I'm done reading the story. I'm just going to make a couple of thoughts, comments in James chapter 2. And just read a couple of verses in James. We'll look a couple of other places. And just touch on the life of Rahab the harlot. When you see a harlot in the Bible, you see a woman that's of no good, of no account. There is an attire of harlot. There is a working of a harlot. There is a method of a harlot. There is a way of a harlot. It's her life. It's what she does. It's how she earns her living. God despises it. It's despicable. God despises the attire of a harlot. Yet because she moved by faith, because she believed God, because she saw the fear of the Lord, and she acted upon that fear and she spared the lives of those men sent in to spy out the land. God spared her life. God put her in Israel. We see in James chapter 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith Abraham believed God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so he draws a contrast here for us to understand. It was imputed unto Abraham. It was imputed to Abraham by faith. But then he says of Rahab, he says that Rahab the harlot was justified, or likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. Was it enough that she had done good? Was it enough that she had spared those men's lives? Was it enough that, listen, pragmatically, she saw the situation. She said, I know what's best. I want to live. I'll go against all wisdom and all my neighbors and against the king and everybody else. And I'll do this thing because I want so badly to live that I'll do what I think is probably right. I'll spare these men's lives because I know that they'll spare my life. Is that enough to justify her? Is that enough to redeem her? Is that enough to show her, listen, I've done a good work. I've done a good. Is there anybody that would contest that that was the right thing to do? She spared the lives of those men. And in doing so, she saved the life of her entire household, of her father's house. There's nothing wrong with what she did, but he said that wasn't what saved us, not what justified her. But Hebrews tells us what it was in Hebrews 11. Let's turn back there just a couple of pages. In verse 31. Starting in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. We're in Hebrews 11, 30. After they were compassed about 7 days, what? By faith. God told Joshua, you'll march around that city 7 days, and on the seventh, they'll march around 7 times. The walls of that city will fall. By faith, the children of Israel moved. By faith, Joshua led them to Jericho. By faith, they marched around that city, and the walls of Jericho fell. But then the same story he tells us again, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Again, were the works enough to justify Rahab? Were the works enough on her behalf to do what seemingly was right, to always do what's right, to always do what is required of me, to always make the right decision? No, when she believed, she perished not with them that believed not. Yes, sir. There were people in that city. They saw the miracles of God. They saw the children of Israel come out. They heard the story of crossing the Red Sea. They heard the stories of what God had done in the wilderness. They had heard those things. They had seen those things. But you know what the difference between them and Rahab was? They didn't believe it was God.
Yes, sir.
And Rahab said, the Lord, he is God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'll do what's right because I believe God. I'll protect these men because they're God's men. I'll protect these people because this is God's chosen people. Hey, she wasn't just protecting two men. She was protecting a nation. They came back and gave a report. Listen, at her lips, they gave a report. They said, fear has fallen upon the occupants of the land. Fear is upon the people of the land. Who told him it was? Rahab told him it was. She said, our hearts did melt. All courage is gone. The men of the city are little shivering wimps who just are scared to death. But I believe God. I believe God. He is God. It wasn't just that she saw the works, but she acted on the works.
That's right.
It wasn't just she saw the children of Israel coming across the Red Sea, but she acted upon what she saw. And she believed it was God. And all the city had seen those works, and they still defiled God and cursed God and mocked God. He's not the God. Send out those men. Send those men out the cave to spy out the land. Fear was upon them. Rahab stood with the boldness that only the righteous could stand. And she looked in the face of those men and said, "I, you spare my life, my father's house life, for I have spared your life." It wasn't enough to be justified by the works, but it was by faith. She believed God and she acted upon it. And God took that little harlot woman and made her a part of Israel and put her in Israel. And she abides there to this day, according to the scripture. There's a name that you'll hear even amongst the Jews today. They look at the name of Rahab and they look at that name with respect, and there's an honor to it. And listen, she was just a harlot. But there's something they see and there's something they speak of in her, how she believed God and she saw a nation mighty of God's people and greater than her and greater than her city. And she went against everything she knew and every person she knew. And she went against the government. She went against the king. She went against everything she was raised with. And she said, "The Lord, He is God." But not only did she say that, but then she acted upon that. And I think there's a lot of people today, "I do good. I do good works. I give to the Girl Scouts. I help UNICEF. I donate at the clinic. I volunteer." They have all these good works that pragmatically they may be for the good of a nation. They may be good for your neighborhood. They may be good, but whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And my friend, they're not doing it by faith. They're doing it because seemingly it's the right thing and seemingly it's the best thing. But yet they still don't believe God. They still don't believe that God can do what God said He would do. They don't believe that God will do what God said He would do. They just think that somehow my works will be enough and my works will get me through. And if I do more and if I help more and I give more and I bless more, that God somehow will look upon me and find favor with me. But it's by faith that she believed. It's by faith that the harlot came to God. It's by faith that she believed God.
Yes, sir.
If you come to God, you must believe that He is.
Yes, sir.
For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Yes, help us.
When those works start lining up with faith, you'll find out it pleases God.
Yes.
You can give your body to be burned. You give your life a sacrifice to give and to help others. But if you don't have faith, it's impossible to please Him. The life of Rahab. Let's go to Matthew 21, if you would, please. Somebody asked me just the other day, I was preaching. Somebody said, "Do you always get that emotion when you preach?" I said, "No, I had an off day." They didn't come back the next night, oddly enough. Please God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that'll believe.
Yes.
God's put a fire in my soul, a fire in my bones through the Word of God. God's instilled a fire in my soul to preach the Word of God, to tell people how helpless they are without God, but to tell them there's a hope in Christ and there's redemption in Christ. Salvation is in Christ.
Yet so few want to hear that message. So few want to believe. So few want to come that road.
Sure.
Jesus said simply, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He made Himself the single path, the single way. Yet so many are just trying dead works. If I give more, if I do more, if I help more, if I'm nicer. Matthew 21 and verse 31. I'm starting verse 28, actually, Matthew 21. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answers that, 'I will not,' but afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily, verily, or verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.'" Look at verse 23. When he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him. What does he tell them? Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the chief priests. He's speaking to the elders. I say unto you, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? That's awful. I'm a Christian. I'm religious. I'm very religious. In fact, I'm so religious that most people can't stand to be around me. I'm so religious.
It's true, brother. Yes, sir.
I have a religiousness about me. Every Sunday, I'm a supreme practitioner of religion. So Jesus tells him this, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness. There's a problem. Their way was wrong. John came under the way of righteousness. And you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And when you had seen it, you repented not. You've seen it. It's obvious. It's evidenced. It's proof. These are living testimonies. These are lives changed. Luke, Matthew, Zacchaeus, publicans, their lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. Harlots have been changed by Christ. A woman with the issue of blood was changed by Christ. Mary Magdalene was changed by Christ. Rahab the harlot was changed. When you saw it, you heard of these things, you listened to what John said, but ye believed not. And so the publicans and harlots are going in before you go in.
That's good, brother. That's preaching.
And when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. John preached to him. He told them, bring their dead works. Bring those dead works and dump them. Bring that fruit for repentance. I want to see it. Bring it here.
Yes.
This is not your keeping of the law. It's not your working of the law. He laid the axe to that root. He said, one cometh after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to latch it. He pointed them to Christ. He said, here comes the Christ. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And they should have bowed the knee, but they did not believe.
Mm-hmm.
So who takes their place?
Yep. Right.
Publicans. And sinners. Who goes in? Publicans and harlots.
Yes.
Why? Not because of the cleanness of her hands. Not because of her reputation. Certainly not because of her manner of life. Not in her robes of her appearance. But in the cleanness of her heart. Because she believed God.
Yes.
The king in all his finery, his gold, his robes, and all of his finery was slain in the streets of the city he ruled. And all that gold and silver was taken away, put in the house of God. The rulers of the city, all that finery was taken away, was put in the house of God. But up in the wall of the city, there's an old harlot lived, defiled herself in sin, ruined her life in sin. But when the message came, she believed. And then she acted upon that faith.
That's right.
When she believed God,
yes.
She moved with fear, and she acted upon that faith.
Yes, thank you.
And God put her in Israel. Let's go to Ruth chapter 4. Would you mark your place there? We'll go to Matthew 1. We'll read Ruth 4 first, and we'll go quickly to Matthew 1.
just finalize this thread. And Naomi took the child in verse 16 of Ruth 4 and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, who was to be king of Israel. In Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. She was a harlot. And Salmon took her to be his wife. And she begat a man's son. His name was Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, the story we just saw. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. In chapter 1 of Matthew 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Salmon took an old harlot, married her, loved her, begat a son. Boaz was a great man. A great man. And he begat a son, begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David. Titus chapter 2, and I'm done. With Titus 2. In verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God appeared to Rahab.
Yes.
God sent two men to knock on her door. She opened the door. She knew who they were. They had a message. And they gave her the message. And she moved with fear. Just as Noah moved with fear for the saving of his household, she moved with fear for the saving of her household. But can I say this? The grace of God appeared to Rahab. And she moved by faith because she believed God.
Yes, sir.
She moved by faith when she believed. And can I say the grace of God hath appeared to all men. It's what we do with it.
Amen.
God has put people in our lives. God has put circumstances in our lives. God has put the Word of God in our lives. And you know what God has done? He's brought us here today.
Yes, sir.
In his grace.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir.
And God's let us see a little bit of a look into the life of Rahab the harlot by the grace of God. Can I say, when the grace of God appeared to me, I didn't even know it was the grace of God. I said, I didn't even know it was the great. It's taken me 23 and a half years to begin to figure out about 1/2 of 1/10 of 1% of the grace of God that's been in my life. The safety, the protection, the mercy, the love, the kindness, the terror, the wrath, the judgment of a holy God to bring me to a place of salvation and to put me in the lives of others, that they might see this great God of heaven,
yes,
and come to a place of repentance and believe God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor Hain, I'm done. That's the grace of God, the life of Rahab the harlot.